That.
But right now we're speaking with Chris Hand, who will give us the Montreal Art Scene Review. And today you're going to be talking to us about art that you found in some unexpected places.
Not necessarily unexpected, or it depends on who is doing the expecting, but to me I'd end up calling them non-traditional places.
Okay.
Your cafes, your bars, your bookstores, the places around town where their main raison d'être is not necessarily having the art on the wall such as you would at a museum or at a gallery.
Okay. And if art actually does have a future in our militaristic society, do you think that it will be through unexpected places that we find art? What's the difference
first of all, it's not if art has a future. Art has a future, period.
Okay.
Art has had a future, will have a future, is part of our life, is an integral part of everything.
Well, I'm waiting for the future art period, because this period has been
You're just a young pup. You're too impatient.
pretty resolved. Well, the thing is, we've only got a couple minutes to get all your words of wisdom in, so we have to do things quickly. What would you say is the difference between art that you do find in a cafe, a restaurant, a bar, or art that you find on a wall, such as graffiti?
When it's in any sort of structured environment, such as a cafe, such as Le Cagibi, which is where Graham Hall's exhibition is, it tends to be a little bit more organized. And it's the sort of thing where whether it is the complete output of an artist for the past month, 6 years, 6 days, 6 hours, or what have you, but there is a vision, there is a focus on it. With something like graffiti, it's you got the one piece up there, and at which point then, bam, the bus passes by and it's gone. It's history where somebody comes along, and like they're doing at the corner of Pine and Saint Laurent, they just wipe over it and it's gone. It's history. It's toast. And there, it's in order to get that structure, and if you're going to have an artistic career and you want to be an artist, it does help to have a little bit of vision and focus, in the same way that if you want to be a writer and you just sort of put words down randomly on a page, then at which point it might be an interesting experiment, but not an awful lot of people are going to really get into reading that book and so on. And so if you're just doing stuff willy-nilly, yes, you can be an artist, and some of the stuff will be quite interesting and quite good. But to me, it's focus, focus, focus.
In your opinion, then, does being an artist only occur if you're able to make a career as an artist?
No, it's the sort
the
of thing.
The person who does the graffiti on the bus or on the wall, are they not artists?
No, I never said that. What I said is if you want to make a career out of it, in terms of you take somebody like a Shepard Fairey, or you take somebody like a Zilon, or you take somebody like an Omen, and in order for them to have, they now have made a career out of being artists, and all of them are graffiti artists, all of them are, except Shepard Fairey actually does more stencil stuff and poster work. He's the one who did the posters for Obama, that Hope one that everybody sort of got a big kick out of. And it's the sort of thing where, yeah, anybody and everybody can and should be an artist. However, if you want to make a career out of it, and that is the key word that I'm talking about, if you want to do it for a living, if you want to do it so that you don't have a day job, then focus always helps. And then,
On the art itself, or focus on ways to make money off of your art?
Focus on the art itself. There are tons of examples of artists who do amazing stuff who really don't care one hoot about public recognition, don't care one iota about making money and stuff like that. But their art, the way that you can realize that the art becomes very, very good is because they are so focused on it, they are so aware of it, and they know exactly what they're doing and how to handle it and so on, at which point it comes through when you see it.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And the exhibitions or the non-expected art that you've seen in these places, you mentioned the Fufuns, Le Cagibi, are these places examples? Are these places you can go to see examples of the focused art that you're talking about?
In certain cases, it's there. Bob Desautel, who's been on the Montreal art scene for almost longer than I've been alive, although that would be a slight to him because he's actually younger than I am. But it seems like he's been there forever. He's showing at this place, this restaurant called Chez Le Portugais, which is on Saint Laurent. It's 4134. And, it's an unfortunate. He's an example to me of somebody who is a very competent artist, but he doesn't have any focus. So some of his paintings look like Picasso knockoffs at one time. Other paintings look like Dali knockoffs at the other time. Third paintings look like something I've never seen before that are quite interesting and so on, but without that sort of focus, at which point, they're nice and so on, but they're just there.
Spicy.
Some of his stuff is very, very spacey, yes. But it is, there's no sort of, it doesn't grab me by the short and curlies. And which
it
could
does
be,
if you have a few.
Because the name that comes to my mind is Jason Pollock. I mean, his art.
Jackson.
His art has absolutely taken off in terms of value. But in terms of what you're talking about, which is focus, do you see that?
Jackson Pollock was focused from the get-go, and it's the sort of thing where his paintings have always been, once he died, his paintings have always been extremely valuable, and it isn't that they have taken off. It's sort of like saying that the price of gas has taken off. Gas has always been expensive. And will always be expensive. And once somebody figures out a way to make money off of stuff, is how you then raise the price, such as with gas or such as with Jackson Pollock paintings. They become a commodity. To me, it is a completely different thing talking about a local artist who is still trying to create and express their vision to the world. Jackson Pollock, when he's no longer creating anything, somebody else can take over and say, these are rare items. He no longer is alive. You're never going to see another one around there. And at which point, buy it now because it's value will raise, but that is, to me, not part of the discussion today.
Well, what is part of the discussion today and is very much part of the discussion is the question of whether the commoditizing of pieces of art is actually beneficial or harmful for art. And building on what you just said, I'd like your response.
To me, it depends on what the art is, who is the artist, and what is the purpose of it. To me, the first line you always have when buying any piece of art is that it's the sort of thing where it's something you love and cannot live without. And if it is, then buy it. It doesn't matter what the price is. If it's something that you have that has a price on it that's more expensive than the amount of money you have in the pocket, go talk to the artist. Go talk to the dealer. Go talk to whoever. I'm certain they will be able to work something out with you. It is the sort of thing, if you don't love it, then don't even think about buying it. And it is the sort of thing where if you're going into buying art as a commodity, as there are a number of people are, don't be listening to me. Know stuff that's about 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times more than I do, because otherwise you're likely to get burned.
Okay, because the danger is I see it, and you use the oil comparison/analogy, and I think if we continue along those same lines, when you have art being viewed as a commodity, the danger is that its value is going to be falsely inflated, much like the value of oil has been falsely inflated to produce rising gas prices. If the same thing happens to art, and art prices are falsely inflated because of the artist passing away, because of a collection of people who regard art as investment, deciding that this is what we're going to be putting our advertising and marketing skills behind, I think that that's worse for the overall concept of art in the long run.
Yeah, but for the most part, the art that is here in Montreal, the art that I go see and the art that I actually adore is much more like used bicycles in comparison to the whole oil thing in the world. It's going to buy a used bicycle or borrow a bike from a friend has absolutely no bearing on oil prices, gas prices, cars, or anything like that, except for the fact that they share the same road. To me, the art in town, for the most part, is not commoditized, and at which point, just talking about it generically, it's to me talk about it and focused.
So therefore, do you view the commoditizing of art as a danger to the future of art?
It's to me something I don't even concern myself with because I'm just so far removed from it. It's like saying I got my fixie, and then at which point, there's a guy on the road with a Ferrari.
Right.
Okay, fine, whatever.
Okay, because if you want to talk about cars, the question is, the fixie will get you from A to B just like the Ferrari will.
The
art, it says something to the person who sees it, just like a piece of good, quote-unquote, or bad, quote-unquote, art would do. Is there a difference between art, just like there is a difference between a fixie and a Ferrari?
Obviously. In terms of if you view your art like, let's say like David
Geffen.
Well,
now we're getting somewhere.
No,
because
you view your art like David
Geffen.
Because now
we can hit on your definitions of what makes good art.
My definitions of what is
absolutely.
If it makes me think.
That's good.
As an art teacher, as a graffiti artist, you know what I mean? I totally agree with what he's saying. You know, in the sense that, you have to be on it 125% all day, every day. You know what I mean? Guys like, my contemporaries, Omen, Zilong, Jean-Paul Basquiat, who can you define his stuff as art? Can graffiti artists say it's graffiti?
That's spontaneous, you see?
Right.
And it's right there.
Right.
That's
but you know, Pablo Picasso and Dali, were they any less spontaneous?
Yeah, at that time, it was very spontaneous.
Then we have to, you know, kind of weigh in that, and this is funny because it was an old professor of mine that had said it. You like art is 99% business and 1% talent, and your death ups your value one time.
But that does that 99-1% ratio? Is that a good thing for creativity, or does it teach us to aim our creativity towards making money?
It depends. If you're an artist and you're a capitalist artist, or you're it all depends. At some point, you realize you have to pay the rent. In my case, I'll just give graffiti validity and teach it, you know what I mean, so I could still be as underground as I want, you know what I mean. Guys like Omen and so on and so forth, who are my friends, would be like, how could you do this? But at the same time, I understand where he's coming from, because right. he's living, breathing, eating, that he's, you know, doing a lot of stuff legally, illegally, like he's right. there, you know what I mean. Like Zilon's the same way.
Craig, Jeffrey.
When I think, I mean, even independent artists, I mean, you can put it into mute. I mean, Basquiat had no problem with his connection with Warhol and selling his, you know, his art, even though he started out basically on the streets and what have you, and as an untrained artist. And the same thing, you know, with independent bands and what have you, you want to get your for lack of a better word, product, the thing that you've made mm-hmm. out to as many people as possible. So you have to make a CD, you have to make websites and stuff to get your, and also to travel and to be able to pay the bills.
So again, I'm hearing the same refrain that art is a product.
Art is creativity.
And I don't know
art
if art being viewed
and inspiration. That's what art is about.
Is the new R&B song a product?
Margo, I agree with you, but what I'm hearing again is that
it becomes something that I've created that ultimately you want to get out, and so part of the creative process is that you have to afford to make more art, and therefore
you
have to sell it.
Yeah, and you have to eat. It's true. And some people can get into it much more than others.
I don't want to live in a garret eating stale bread.
Oh, shoot.
There are some people who do like that and enjoy it very much.
Is that bread pudding the bread pudding with mm-hmm. that?
Okay, so Chris, you had these three locations.
The Jerome Abramovich at Fofun, who has his speaking of fixies, his show is Portraits of Bike Messengers. It's up until the end December 6th. There's also Graham Hall, who has done painted portraits of magazine photos from the 50s, which is up at Kajabi, I have no idea how to pronounce it. That's at the corner.
Kajabi,
you sure?
Kajabi.
Okay.
I've even heard some people pronounce it as if it was KGB.
Very smooth. Which is at 5490 Saint Laurent, the corner of Saint Viateur, and that's up until November. And then there's the Bob Desotels show, which has no name, which is at Chez Le Portugais, 4134 Saint Laurent, until this weekend.
And then keep the fixies. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Although you got to deal with Fofun. And there it's
really?
It's the sort of thing where now that I'm like, it's all for the youngsters now.
Yeah, it's like not like it was back in the day.
I'm definitely feeling old when I go there.
Okay,
yeah,
so let's go around the table here right quick. If anybody has any community announcements to announce, or any artistic vernissages that they would like people to attend.